Welcome to the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show. Culpepper and Marco Coleman will break down today's Jaguars game and take a look around the rest of the NFL,
as well as take your calls, tweets, and Facebook questions.
The Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Wells Fargo, Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. Let's get the show started. Here are Marco Coleman and Culpepper.
And we'll take your calls and your tweets as well. You can tweet to me at Culpepper. You can call 355-NFL1, 1-800-355-6351. If you want, I've already had some tweets for some fans who are making their case, stating their case for guys they want to have kept on this team. There'll be some guys cut that are going to be pretty good players. We've got a tweet here saying Kevin Elliott, we want him. Section 123 is voting for Toston. We've got another Morgan saying, I like what I see from Schaefer. Let me know who you want to keep. Who are you clamoring for to stay on this roster? And what do you think now after the preseason is over? Give me your thoughts. Do you feel better, worse, or do you have an expectation of something during the regulars? Again, I've said I think the window of for this team is a 7-10 win window. They make mistakes. They get injuries. It's a 7-win season. If they stay healthy, if they play disciplined football, if they do what I think they're capable of doing, they can win 8, 9, 10 games. Of course, you know, the breaks can, go one way or another. But I think that's where the window is for this team. If you have a thought, join us with a conversation here at 355-NFL1. When you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart, 6 Jacksonville locations. Stein Mart, more fashion, less price. All right, Marco Coleman, let's get things started here. Marco's money player for this final preseason game.
You know, I'm going with my man Mike Thomas. You know, I thought he was very, very good today. You know, every ball that was thrown to him, he caught it, got a couple good yards. He was open, consistent. Probably, I would think, the most consistent guy throughout the whole preseason. I mean, he had a couple guys score some touchdowns, whatever, they came in with Parmalee and Murphy. But my man, Mike Thomas, Mighty Mike is what I'm going to start calling him. He's my player of the game.
You lit the fuse on M80 is what you did.
You know, there's some crucial third down conversions that he came up with. You know, I think the guy's going to be clutch all season long in that area.
All right, 355-NFL1, 1-800-355-6351. Also going to talk about whether there's any chance the Jaguars keep three quarterbacks. Jordan Palmer would be the third one, obviously. We'll talk about that as we continue on. Jaguars season tickets, group tickets, 5-game packs, and single-game seats are on sale right now. To go all in, call 633-2000 or visit jaguars.com. We'll take time out when we come back. More of the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show, this portion brought to you by Rouse Chiropractic Clinic. More to come on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show as we wrap up the preseason right here on Jaguars Radio. We welcome you back to the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Culpepper, Marco Coleman here. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Injury update brought to you by Baptist Health, Jacksonville Circle of Care. One of the, really the only injury that we had reported was Uche Nwaneri with the ankle. If the ankle is, if there's some concern before tomorrow night about what, you know, how bad that ankle is, that could impact some decisions on what the Jaguars do on that offensive line, and depending on whether you're going to keep, you know, 9 offensive linemen, 8 offensive linemen, that'll impact other positions. So some of these things that, you know, when you have injuries in the last game, and you see why a lot of teams don't play their starters at all in these games. Boy, talk about having a backup plan and a backup to the backup plan. Gene Smith and company are going to have some contingencies built in.
That's for sure. I mean, I know you mentioned something about the quarterbacks. And I think that's a big reason why you want to have 3 quarterbacks. Not only at the offensive line, but the competition at so many other positions. Where we go down this roster and we talk about, you know, who you're going to let go. I mean, one you definitely can just go ahead and fork out is that quarterback. I mean, these other guys can actually really contribute week in and week out and get better, grow with the team as young guys, and be a lot more beneficial than what Palmer can be. So, you know, on the offensive line, you know, we talk about Whimper and Baldridge, you know, might end up having to hold on to both of them depending upon how the situation is with Uche.
Yeah, again, Uche gives you some flexibility because he can play either guard spot and in a pinch can play some center. And you start looking at guys who can play multiple positions. Guy Whimper can play right or left tackle. Baldridge is a right guard, or is right tackle rather, maybe can play some guard, maybe not. We hadn't really been pressed in action there. Cameron Bradfield, who's the starting right tackle, can also play some left tackle. Mm-hmm.
Saw Brewster come out today. He's
Brewster,
been playing
center and
play
guard.
Some guard.
Right. Eben Britton, the starting left guard, obviously can play right tackle because he's been a starter there in the past as well. So you want flexibility from your guys to provide you depth, and but at the same time, you want to make sure you can put the best five guys out there on game days you possibly can.
Yeah, and I think the way things look, I'm pretty sure with the amount of time that's left before the season start, you're going to see a full offensive line. I don't think it'll be a problem with Uche being out there. And I know he may have to. Well, they're going to take all the necessary precautions, put him in like one of those oxygen tanks and everything.
Yeah.
If he can
cryogenically
fit.
Freeze him and send him through a wormhole, do whatever you need to make sure.
Whatever it's going to take, he's going to be ready to go on that opening day.
Accelerate that healing. got a tweet in here. Cole, can we see a surprise cut like Shorts? He seems timid, fumbles, and I think he would be deactivated on game days.
Yeah, see, that's something I've mentioned, you know, where I just think that he becomes expendable when you look at Rubisky, how he's been playing, the way Elliott has been showing up. And, you know, in the different areas that you need help. Like I said, but then you look at it, you got 6 wide receivers in total if you keep Shorts, which I think that's pretty much reasonable considering how Elliott is probably going to be a big part of what's going on with special teams.
They kept 6 last year. Again, different coaching staff, but just putting in perspective, they kept 6 last year, one of whom hardly played wide receiver at all. That was Kasim Osgood. He was almost exclusively a special teams guy. I can envision that role more likely for Kevin Elliott, and then seeing, you know, either Shorts or Rubisky being the decision based on who's playing better as an inactive. If you're just going to have 4 active wide receivers plus Elliott as a special teams guy, but again, you start again. This is where the running back situation with Maurice Drew impacts things. Montel Owens right now is Rashad Jennings' backup. How much do you want to have Montel out there playing special teams if he's your number one backup at running back?
That's why you got to have somebody like the Parmalees or the Murphys, Toastin. Those guys, that's a critical decision between those three. Which one has shown enough to warrant to be maybe that third guy or really get more reps in there at the running back position as opposed to Montel? I think Montel would be probably more short yardage as opposed to out there in that open field when Rashard needs a little break.
Again, that's what his role is, what Montel Owens' role is going to be specifically. I think it's still very much in the formative stages. I mean, right, you feel very comfortable with him being a running back. Solid, reliable, smart. He's going to do the right thing. He's tough. You saw the run in the preseason where he ran over the guy in the New Orleans game?
Very physical.
He's physical. He's not afraid of contact at all. He catches the ball well out of the backfield. You have a pretty good feel for what you're going to get out of him. And so the question is, do you want to utilize that? And then you play him on special teams, he's terrific. Mm-hmm. We know that. You're taking a Pro Bowl special teamer off of what he has been in the Pro Bowl and put him as a backup at a position where you have some depth. So how Mike Mularkey is going to massage that situation still remains to be seen as well.
It might be done by committee. A little bit of Montel and a little bit of Parmalee, Murphy, or Toastin. It looks like
depending on whoever's going to be around here. Another tweet from Johnny. Robinson needs to get with a program or start putting some of his dollars in the wide receiver tip jar for those young wide receivers earning their keep. I'm not that concerned right now with LaRon Robinson. He has proven in the National Football League that he can get open and make plays. It's not as if he was dropping a bunch of passes during the preseason. He just wasn't being targeted. He also hasn't gotten a ton of snaps in the preseason. The starters have only gotten so many snaps. And in passing situations, Blackman's been the guy who is, you know, clearly established, you know, starting to show what he can do. I'm not worried. I'm not going to say nothing could happen that would make me worry, but I'm not worried about him at this point. I just, for a veteran in the preseason, I'm just not willing to, you know, and this is not an old veteran, not a 33-year-old receiver who maybe have lost his legs. This is a guy in the prime years of his career.
Yeah, like I said, the biggest things for me is really just my concern today, and that was with that long ball. I just didn't see the burst. I don't know what the case may be. That might be as fast as he can run, but it's just normally when you see that the guy that can run that post route that's going over the top, he's got another gear when that ball is in the air. And I just didn't see that, whether it's the preseason or not. When a wide receiver has that opportunity, the eyes get big, they go get that pass.
Well, we know here in Jacksonville, we know what it looks like when a guy's a great deep threat. Hey, Jimmy Smith, we've seen it.
Smooth.
Yeah, we know what it looks like. Just in time for the Jaguars home opener on September 16th, check out the Seabest Cool Zone just outside of the south end zone. It'll be under the south end zone stands there. It's a great place to cool off before, during, and after home games. You can watch the game, have refreshments, and when the weather gets colder, the cool zone becomes a hot zone. Refresh yourself at the Seabass Cool Zone in the south end zone at Everbank Field. We'll take time out, back with more of the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show, wrapping up the preseason right here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back, Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here. Bueller Swiss Watch Company, proud to be the official watch of the Jaguars. Bueller Swiss Watches are available at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, the Faceted Rainbow in Ocala, the Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, Treasures Fine Jewelers in Palatka, and J. Carbone Jewelers in Valdosta. Let's get back to some Twitter questions. You can tweet to me at Cole Pepper, or you can join the conversation at 355-NFL1. Matthew tweets in, who covers Harvin next week? I'm surprised how well the secondary has played without either starting cornerback available.
That's a pretty good question. You wonder, okay, Mathis hasn't really been tested, you know, that knee with a guy like Harvin that's as quick as he can be. I think really the guy that I would feel most comfortable would be Ross, just because of the amount of time he's had in there. And I think Harvin is more of a slot kind of guy, and Ross seems to have the mobility, the hips to move with the quicker guys as opposed to Rasheen and with Cox.
I'm really anxious to see what this defense is going to look like with all the components out there, with Branch and Mincy rushing from the outside, with Pot Roast and Alualu and or Mosley in any combination there in the middle. De'Anthony Smith, who played well again tonight.
Yeah, I was very impressed inside with his explosiveness.
With Puzlesny and Darryl Smith and Russell Allen, with, you mentioned the three cornerbacks who are going to play the chief roles, with, you know, Lowry and Landry. We've got guys who were very proud last year that they were able to weather the storm of so many injuries and be a top six defense. And the expectation is that this is a team that has the capability and the coaching and the personnel to be a top three defense in the National Football League.
I mean, you figure they were pretty opportunistic all during the course. They came up with plays on the defense when they needed them. You know, they made a team may have started a drive, but they would always seem to hold them right at the right time, getting a batted ball, an interception, causing a play, big sack, something to stop some drives. And I don't see why that would not continue, you know, especially with, you know, you get everybody back. You know, Darryl Smith, you know, I think they may mention at the luncheon now, he's probably one of the most underrated linebackers in the league. It's about time for him to get a ticket to going to Hawaii, and this has got to be that season. And then you figure with Mincy, I think he's posed, he's set up to be the leader, and I think he's ready to go ahead and make that next step to being one of the more dominant defensive ends in this league also.
All right, another tweet here from Eric. I was expecting Lewis to be a bigger part of the passing game. Do you think they're hiding him for the regular season? I don't think they're hiding Mercedes
Lewis.
Hard
to hide 6'6", 265.
I think part of it has been that the wide receivers are so much better. I don't expect Mercedes Lewis or any of the tight ends to be, you know, a 60-catch position this year.
No, you figure even you look at what he did with the Falcons. He had a Hall of Famer in Tony Gonzalez. He got passes, but it wasn't those the big numbers and receptions like Gonzalez was used to
when
he was playing with the Chiefs.
Julio Jones.
And that's very similar to what you got now. Now you got, you know, instead Robbie of Julio White. Jones, now you got your boy, you got Blackman and you got Robinson. Then also you throw in there Mike Thomas. You got so many options outside of just the tight end, although the tight end is probably the best protection for the quarterback as it pertains to passing. When you got, especially you got 6'6", 265 pounds, should be a mismatch for anybody in that secondary.
800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Visit Sonny's today. Try the new barbecue baskets. Slow smoke, pulled and sliced meat basket for $7.99 or for just a little more. Choose between two other mouthwatering baskets. Sonny's, the first name in barbecue. This portion of the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show brought to you by Isilborn Chiropractic and Sports Medicine. When we come back, the carry of the day and more analysis of the Jaguars preseason. They finished 3-1 after beating the Falcons 24-14. More to come right after this timeout on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show here on Jaguars Radio. You need a truck that works for you even when you're not working. The 2012 Silverado, the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup truck that fits your lifestyle. See your Southern Chevy dealer today. Proud sponsors of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here, 355-NFL1, 1-800-355-6351. You can also tweet to me at Cole Pepper if you have a comment, question, a guy you think should make it or a guy you think shouldn't make it as the final cuts approach. Also, your thoughts on if the preseason has colored your opinion on what's going to happen with this the rest of this season. Did it change your mind? Did it bolster your opinion that you had going in? Do you think ESPN the magazine is right? And 1-15 is what's coming up for the Jaguars. The carry of the day is presented by Waste Pro. Let Waste Pro USA carry the load for you. Marco Coleman, who had the carry of the day?
Well, you know my bias as it pertains to these three guys that are battling for that second spot. Well, I want to say second, third spot between Parmalee, Murphy, and Toastin. But that touchdown run by Parmalee was pretty impressive, I have to say. That's the carry of the day, that touchdown run. Mm-hmm. I mean, running through guys, you know, that was one of those runs where, hey, he wasn't going to be denied getting into the end zone. Very impressed with that run.
All right. Can we agree that Parmalee –
yeah.
Is ahead of the other two?
Yeah, definitely. I would have to say. Yeah. I just don't think that they gave Murphy enough. I think if you gave Murphy the same type of opportunities.
Had a couple touchdown runs.
Yeah, I like Murphy, man. I think Murphy, to me, is the better running back out of the three.
You like his burst. You like his speed,
Murphy,
element.
Yeah, he just seems to be the guy that will be more elusive. And even once he gets out in the open field, I think he seems to be faster than the other
three. I think he's the fastest of that group, I believe. I believe he is. Would haven't had the – haven't had the clock on him, haven't had the 40-yard dash or the 100 meters or the 4x100 or whatever else.
I like Murphy. Even watching him in practice, he definitely stood out. It was a guy that you can, you know, he jumps out at you as you're watching, you know, and that's impressive.
How much do you think Blaine Gabbert has improved? Can you, on a scale of 1 to 10, what's his improvement from last year to this year?
1 to 10, I give him about 7, 8. You know, I think
substantial.
I think he's improved because he looks so much more comfortable. There's not a jitteriness in what he's doing. Even in the beginning of that game, when the little adversity hit, he came back out, calm, under pressure, collected himself. You know, led the team on a nice drive. You know, I mean, and that's the thing that you really want to you got to be impressed about, because during the course of four quarters, you can count on some bad plays. It's not going to always be rosy. As a matter of fact, the season is nothing but a bunch of fits and starts. That's how the thing goes. But now how you handle the adversity, come back, and be able to still perform is the true mark of a player that is going to be a good player in this league. And I think, you know, incidents like that early in the game, to be able to come back with that adversity, impressive. I think he's a better player right now.
All right, let's get some calls in here. 800-355-NFL1. Let's go to Anderson in Mandarin, who is up here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Anderson, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
Enjoy listening to you guys.
Yeah, what's on your mind?
Well, you know, I hate to be a bearer of bad news, but we're all thinking it sitting here at home. How good would we be with Jones-Drew? I mean, our defense is going to be better than it was last year. Our wide receivers look amazing. Gabbert looks great. Our offensive line obviously isn't that bad. We had the leading rusher in the league last year. I believe that we could win one playoff game with Jones-Drew on the field. Breaks my heart to say it, but, man, come. I know you're at home watching. Get off the couch. Come put a jersey on, man.
So
Anderson, losing more money in a day than some people make.
Let me ask you, from a fan's perspective, where have you come down on this Maurice Jones-Drew versus the Jaguars thing? You know, and has your opinion changed at all the closer we've gotten to the season starting?
A deal to deal. He asked for it. We gave it to him when he wanted it. He was one of the highest paid backs. And now the deal, the way he wanted it set up, doesn't pay well for him on the leading end, on the trailing end. A deal to deal, man. In this economy, with unemployment rate the way it is in Jacksonville, go to work. Make some money.
See, I think
we love you, man. I mean, come to work.
Yeah, I think the economy is certainly impacting how people are viewing this thing. And Anderson, I think you're right on the money. I think you would be in the sweet spot of what a lot of Jaguars fans are saying, which is, come on, get in here. You know, there's not a groundswell of support for Maurice Jones-Drew to get a new deal. There's a groundswell of support for Maurice Jones-Drew to get in here and be a part of something that I think a lot of Jaguars fans, Marco, are perceiving as being an exciting new start for the Jaguars and very much a we environment here with this team, with a new locker room that the new owner has paid for, the new coach, an improved quarterback, the high draft pick wide receiver, everything. It's been, and I think the perception is correct among fans that it's a we atmosphere with the Jaguars, and there's one guy who happens to be the best player on the team who's not here with the team now, and I think that frustrates a lot of people. And I don't think it's a matter that people are going to be booing Maurice Jones-Drew when he comes back.
They'll be cheering him.
But they want to get him in here. Yeah. And I think when if you start missing regular season games and it starts impacting what the Jaguars do on the field, particularly if the Jaguars, wins and losses. I mean, that's the bottom line. Mm-hmm. If the Jaguars don't get off to a good start and Maurice Jones-Drew is not in here, people are going to point the finger at him. If they get off to a good start, then they're going to say, well, who needs you? So it's almost a no-win situation from a PR standpoint for Jones-Drew to not be here for what happens going forward.
I mean, I understand his perspective. You figure, and it's one of the things that fans have to understand, although it may seem like, okay, he's only thinking about himself, his team atmosphere, this is still professional sports. And although it is made up, it's comprised of a group of guys that have to play together, on that one side of, on the other end of it, as a player, as you are your own product, you have to do the things that you feel are best for you in every sense of the deal. Because the team is going to do what's best for them. Because you say you get down to a certain situation, which I've been in it, where the team, they'll go to players and ask them, we got this deal, but I think we need to can you take this pay cut to help us get some more cap room? So it's been
sometimes that's a win-win.
Not necessarily, because you're taking money out of the player's pocket. You actually take a pay cut.
But if you give them a signing bonus at that time, now they're getting cash in hand.
You're getting less money. Asking to take less money.
Potentially. But you were in a situation several times in your career. I mean, you played for 41 different teams. You were willing to take that risk of a career-ending injury to sign a shorter contract,
right?
Knowing that if you performed, having the confidence in your abilities, that if you performed, you were going to get paid again, and it wouldn't have to renegotiate. It wouldn't have to be that these shorter deals offer the chance to get that next bigger deal. So you're a little bit of an anomaly in that case. Most people, most NFL players, and most people, given the hypothetical, would say, I'll take the security of the big signing bonus the first time and then take my chances down the road. Maurice is trying to get on both sides. He got the big signing bonus, big at the time, and now he wants to get it again.
Well, like I said, in that same token of him doing what he feels best, there's also a time and a place to get it done. And I don't think he's in the right situation. You figure right before the game, I had an opportunity to talk to Mr. McShay with the Atlanta Falcons, and I posed him a question. I said, how often is it that a guy with 2 years left on his deal asks to renegotiate? Not very often. No. This is something that doesn't happen. There's no leverage in it. So, it's better off to, in my case, and I would always look, I was fortunate to have good representation that gave me pretty good advice as to making the decisions. I've held out before, left things out, I've negotiated and things of that nature. But it's always, you have to do it when you have some form. You can't negotiate if you don't have any leverage.
Right.
And right now, Maurice, I understand he's trying to get as much as he can while he can, but at the same time, you don't have that much leverage with the position you're in with your contract.
And the question is, does he recognize that?
And I don't know, man.
I don't know. I don't know. I'd love to talk to him about it. I don't think he's going
to
call up and,
sound
off.
Because I just want to just hear Maurice, what you're thinking behind it, man. Because like I said, I really think that the best thing that he could have done was coming in, playing this season, and then, being a part of the team, showing Coach Mularkey that, you get people behind you now. So now you come in middle of the season or even at the very start, now go knock on Gene's door. Let's talk about renegotiating. I don't want to come to the end of this last deal, this last year. So now next year, you do what you're doing this year.
Yeah. Again, with 1 year left?
I can see that. Yeah. But now, guess what would happen? Now you got Coach Mularkey knocking on Gene's door. Hey, Gene. I mean, what are we going to do? I need mojo now. But right now, Shot Khan, Coach Mularkey, they never had Maurice.
Yep.
So how are they? They can't miss something that they never had. So at this point in time, I just don't think it was the right decision. The timing was inappropriate.
Anderson, thanks a lot for the call. I appreciate it. We'll take time out. Come back for some final thoughts. Jaguars win it 24-14 over the Atlanta Falcons. Get a few last tweets in as well. Want to tweet to me at Cole Pepper. Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. Back after this timeout here on the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back. Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here. Sip more. pay less. Any size premium roast coffee, soft drink, or sweet tea. Now just $1 at McDonald's any day, any size, any time. McDonald's, I'm loving it. All right, some final thoughts here as we get ready to close out the preseason and look forward to the regular season. Jaguars will open the season a week from Sunday in Minneapolis against the Minnesota Vikings. Where are the Jaguars strongest after watching the preseason, and where do they have to keep an eye on things? Where are your areas of concern now?
I think the strength right now is the wide receiving core and that safety core, the groups back there at the safety position. I would say question mark just because of the injuries is on that offensive line. Just not really sure how those guys and then the backup at, you know, at the running back position.
I'll offer a couple of other things where I think there's strength and weakness. I think from a strength standpoint, I think they're very strong at defensive tackle. They've got a lot of guys in there who can play. I also think that it's a question more than a weakness. How does Blaine Gabbert do when he has that pass rush coming at him?
They're going to send the blitzes.
Jared Allen's going to be coming at him
yeah.
in the open. You've got that Texans defense in the home opener the following week that's going to be coming at him. You start looking at some
and
of the pass rushers.
And Mathis and Freeney going to come right after that.
You've got the Bengals have a decent pass rush. The Bears have
it. It's the NFL, baby.
If the Jaguars can give Blaine Gabbert time to throw the football, I think you're going to see folks around the league go, oh, wow, okay, I guess he's not terrible. He still has, like I said, he still has a ways to go. But he has a he's shown some very good things. We mentioned the quarterback rating in the 90s in the preseason, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. If he plays like that for the Jaguars, this is a playoff team.
Okay, we'll see how it goes. It all goes to zero now. You know, we're starting, and it all counts at the same time. So looking forward to next Sunday.
All right, well, we are approximately, 21 hours, 45 minutes away from the final cuts being due. Friday night, 9 p.m., the rosters must be cut down to 53. Then over the weekend, you can start adding players into the practice squad. As the games begin next week, the Jaguars open in Minnesota. Then the home opener against the Houston Texans is just 2.5 weeks away. This is the start of a new era. It's the start of a new stage, a new chapter in Jaguars football. And with a new owner, a new coach, a new attitude, the Jaguars look like they're going to go into the season without their old running back. But it doesn't seem to slow them down in the preseason. Rashad Jennings has looked very good, and the Jaguars are looking to establish a new identity. Whether Maurice Jones-Drew is a part of that identity or not is entirely up to him, it appears. For Marco Coleman, for Linda Fortunato, for Ed Rocco, Cole Pepper saying thanks for listening, and good night from Jaguar Central.